we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning, Brevard County. We just look and wait for the button to get pushed there, and we want to make sure that you don't have a whole lot of down air time there. Hey, hope you're having a great day. Welcome to Tuesday, August the 2nd, 2022. Pray that you are having a marvelous and glorious day, and that Jesus is leading you in triumphal procession. If you do not have a church home, we encourage you. Look, when I look out on the way things that are going in society, I see people who are either getting more entrenched in the kingdom of light, or they're getting more entrenched in the kingdom of darkness. You need as many allies as you can get on your side. You need to be an ally to as many people as possible. I highly encourage you to be a part of a local church. The way things are going, you're going to need believers in your sphere of influence. And so if you don't have a church, Merritt Assembly of God would love to have you come and be a part of that. This is your personal invitation. If I knew your name, I would write it down and send you a personal invitation from the pastor to come and be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. I don't, but God does, and so consider this that. So when you come, we have a free gift for you. We have produced a Merritt Assembly of God Be a Blessing journal. We haven't heard from anybody on the radio program that wanted one, but through the years, a lot of times people would say, we'd really like a place that we could write our notes down and things like that for sermons that are preached. I've got some people who are really, really gifted at taking notes. Since we didn't have enough space in the bulletin, we were looking for something to give away for our 70th anniversary that could be a blessing to people. And we came across that concept, and I said, you know what? That is something that could be a blessing to people's life. And so the front of it simply says, Merritt Assembly of God, be a blessing. Be a blessing at work today. Be a blessing to God. Be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to your church. And God will touch this community through the body of Christ. That is what our goal is. So today we are going to go back to the book of Job, chapter 40. The book of Job, chapter 40. I'm going to read verses 11 through 24 today. We're going to pick up on verse number 14. I thought we'd get farther yesterday than we did, and I still ran out of time to address one aspect of self-salvation you can never achieve, but there's an aspect there that other people might not have thought of, and I want to wholly show the inadequacy of trying to save yourself and redeem yourself, and the reality that you need Jesus Christ. So Job chapter 40, verse number 11, disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees, in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. So yesterday we concluded by talking about verse number 14, where God says, if you can do all of these things that I have challenged you to do, then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Okay, so it is not whether or not you deem that you have the possibility of saving yourself. God has to be the one that declares that. And he's already declared that that is not the standard that will get you into his heaven. I want to say that again. His heaven, his rules, his house, his purpose, his dwelling place. He's not looking to recreate a fallen community, which would be what would happen if we were the source of our own salvation. It would be an individualistic standard in heaven, and God is looking for a perfect environment, a suffering-free environment, a sin-free environment, a life-filled holiness environment, and that is never going to be achieved through a person being able to be their own savior. But for the sake of interest, or for the sake of conversation, God says, if you could do all this, then I will confess to you. This is how confident that God is that no one's ever going to be able to do that. Then I will confess that you can be your own savior. Okay. So there may be some people who would be enticed by that challenge. I've just got one additional question to ask. What about everybody else? He doesn't say that you could be the savior for other people. He says, if you achieved all of these standards that I have laid out before you, do it in holiness and power and wisdom, then I will confess, if you are able to humble the proud, if you are able to successfully conquer the wicked, then I would confess to you that you could save you. Now look around. You've probably got family. You've probably got kids or grandkids or neighbors, coworkers, or loved ones of some sort. What about how are they going to be saved? God said, Job, if you were just like me, it would only make it possible for you to save yourself. So we may not be the largest church around, but one of the things that I have found through the decades of ministry that I have been involved in is that people tend to carry an exceptionally a valuable burden for their family members, whether it's brothers and sisters or parents or children or grandchildren. They're extremely burdened about making sure that their family makes it. They might not be concerned about anybody else on the planet getting saved, but they're extremely concerned about their family members getting to heaven. And the only way that that is possible is through Jesus. This life that we live is more than just ourselves. What about the others? It's not just about the 99. What about the one that's missing? Not just about your family. And so, you know, whenever I look at situations and there may be less than stellar behavior, I look at it and evaluate it in a lot of different ways and say, God, there's some seeds that are being sown. God, would you be Lord of the harvest? Would you be Lord of the seed? Would you be Lord of the growth process, God, started here. Holy Spirit, be in relentless pursuit of them, because I don't just want me to be saved. I want everybody. God does not want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And so, like I mentioned yesterday, the lesson to be learned in this confrontation that God has with Job and his opposition to, or the limitations of his opposition to God, is, Job, you need to be more cognizant of your own dependence upon God than what you are. You know, there's an old story about God challenging a scientist to, you know, create life, because the scientist said, God, we don't need you anymore. We have advanced scientifically to where now we can create life on our own. And God said, okay, get your own dirt. You see, man has to have something, some sort of resource to be able to use. God is, one of his titles is the self-sufficient one. He doesn't need anything from anyone. He's God all by himself. Everything that we see, everything that is in nature, everything that is in, throughout the cosmos, everything that pertains to life and godliness, it all emanates from him. It's a byproduct of who he is. So don't be selfish and try to earn your way to heaven. Be humble and allow Jesus to be your savior, and then you can catch his vision for the rest of humanity. This I will say about Merit Assembly of God. We have a tremendous missions heart, and that's not only on a global means. A lot of times people say, you know what, churches should pay taxes, and let me just tell you this. Almost every church that I know gives way more than they would have ever given to the tax base to help people in the community. You just don't know about it because churches don't go putting it across billboards. We don't do it for our own accolades. So just in case you did not know, I thought I would share with you, churches are about more than dollars and cents. They're about people getting their sins wiped out and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and having an eternal hope and an eternal future with Jesus Christ. So verses 15 through 21 begin to address parts of God's creation. Verse number 15, it says, look now at the behemoth, and the footnote says a large animal. The exact identity is unknown, but it's a large animal, and God says, which I made along with you. Okay, so there is the creation that God said was good, and there's the creation of man, which he said was very good. But you need to understand that God's creative capabilities were at work in both. He begins to describe what this particular animal uses for nutrition. It identifies the source of his strength. It talks about the strength or the power that he has in his muscles, how he moves, how he is formed together, the magnitude of his bone structure. And he says, he is the first of the ways of God. Now listen to this. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. And so what God is saying is, there are parts of creation that are never going to yield to you, Job, but they yield to me, because they know that they didn't evolve. I created them. Amen? So look at what it says, verse number 19. only he who made him can bring near his sword. So I will tell you this. I have this saying, and it goes like this. In the words of that great American philosopher, Clint Eastwood, a man's got to know his limitations. You and I need to be aware of the fact that we have limitations and that God does not. And so when we come into a situation where we are not sufficient, we need to say, God, you are. That's why a couple of times, once in the book of Jude, once in the book, I believe, of Zechariah, it says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. There is no withstanding God's rebuke. So it goes on and it begins to describe throughout the rest of the chapter that no matter what happens in his environment, he is not disturbed. He's confident. And no one is going to be able to take him and make him a pet. So in verse number 1 of chapter 41, we run across this. Can you draw out Leviathan, which it says is a large sea creature, exact identity unknown, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Or will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. So let's dive into chapter 41 here for just a moment. And it says, the question that I've put down is, can you compel and conquer the largest creatures in the sea? What is the title? Jaws, caused a great fascination with the great white shark. And then, like every Hollywood movie, they've got to focus on some animal that's even bigger or badder. And so I think it was Megalodon that they started making movies about and things like that, a shark that was even more massive than a great white shark. Can you compel them? Can you conquer them in a different atmosphere, an atmosphere in which they were created to thrive, and an atmosphere in which you cannot exist? You see, if you take man and you put him without submarine, without alternative life support, if you take man and put him underwater, within a few minutes you are going to find that you were never meant to exist in that environment. On the same hand, if you take an animal, a creature, out of that environment and you bring them into an air-breathing environment, you're going to find that they are not going to thrive there. You and I were created to exist and thrive in the atmosphere in which God placed us. You start moving outside of that, and you've got to find alternative means to be able to exist in that environment. That's why hell is such a miserable place. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And yet there are people who were created with a free will, the ability to make choices and decisions on their own, that will willfully choose to abandon the environment in which they were created to thrive and choose an environment in which they cannot enjoy and thrive in life. Hell will be a miserable place because you were never meant to be there. You can focus on the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. You can talk about the flames and you can talk about everything, but it is a place that is void of God's presence, and you were meant, you were created in God's image and created for his presence to be a tangible reality in your life. Choose Jesus as quickly and as early in your life as you can. Choose Jesus as early in your life as you can for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your children and your grandchildren. You were meant for Jesus. Someone has said there's a God-shaped void in every person's life, and nothing else will fit there except for God. So you're not going to be able to tame creatures that were meant to thrive in an atmosphere in which you cannot even live. Verse number 3 has an interesting question, and it says, will this creature make many supplications to you? So now we are looking here at a situation where we begin to see that there's a communication process between the created animal kingdom or sea creature kingdom, birds and things. Those animals have communication with Creator God. And so God says, check your call logs, check your email, check your text messages. Have you had any of the massive sea creatures or massive creatures of land, have they been crying out asking for you to supply for them? And I'm pretty sure the answer is no. You might have a pet that you provide for. You know, around the church, we have some, in the neighborhood of the church, we have some feral cats that have got to be some of the most well-fed creatures in all of Merritt Island, because there are multiple people that come by and feed them. And the raccoons and other critters, they feast on that food as well, because those cats just can't eat that amount of food. I will tell you this. I say this a lot. I'm thankful I'm not God. I'm thankful that you're not God. And I'm thankful that I'm not called to be the source of supply. Men, a lot of times we have been labeled by society as the provider while they ridicule every other aspect of manhood. I want to liberate you today, and that is, you are not the source of supply for your family. God is. But if you try and do what God is supposed to be doing, you're going to experience stress. Several years ago, I had a situation where felt like I had a butterfly in my chest, and I went and I got it checked out. Haven't had that in a long, long time. And it was a humorous experience because the person that was wiring me up was like in my 40s at the time. And the young lady that was wiring me up, she was humming This Old Man, and it's like, I didn't recognize it. I just knew it was a nursery rhyme, and my wife told me what she was humming. And And I was wondering why the other lady that was wiring me up was giving her the death stare. And so that's what I discovered. But the stress test, the doctor said, well, I've got good news. You don't have a heart problem. He said, you have a stress problem. If you think your pastor doesn't experience stress, you would be mistaken. And so I realized that there were some things in my life that I was carrying that I shouldn't be carrying. And in order for me to thrive as God created me, I needed to allow him to carry things that he and he alone could carry. Guys, the best thing that you can do for your family is provide an atmosphere and live a life where you are passionately in love with Jesus and you're providing a spiritual atmosphere at home where not only is there a roof over your family's head, not only are there material needs being met, but you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is being provided because of that. The next time that you think that you are all that, think of this question in Job chapter 41, verse number 3. Is creation crying out to you? Are they making supplications to you? Are they praying to you? Are they asking you to provide them with the needs that they have to exist? And the answer is nope, but they are to God. God takes note of the sparrows. You know, there's an estimate that I've heard from some documentaries that they believe that there are more creatures living either under the surface or of the water or under the surface of the ground. They're subterranean creatures, that the mass of those creatures is greater than the mass of creation that is living on top of the soil. I don't know that. I don't know about all of the numbers and the calculations, but I do know this. God takes note of every life that he has created, and he set it up to thrive and succeed. Let's shift our focus beyond the material needs, and let's make sure that we get the spiritual needs taken care of. That's how we got here. That's how we got to seeking truth, is because we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we want all of these other things added to us. The world is very deceptive, and it tries to get us chasing our tail instead of chasing after God and the truth of God. Let's cry out to God, and he will supply all that we have need of and even more for his glory and his praise. Here's your assignment. Go out and have a God-filled day, a glorious day. We'll see you next time right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Welcome me into this mystery.